Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Comden-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we have another Millennial Travel episode. We are talking the Dublin food scene. Following up last week from St. Patrick's Day, we're talking more about why Dublin is such a great place for you to travel to. It's got so many amazing things to see. The food scene is just emerging, and Ireland has really seen kind of a renaissance since 2008, 2009, when they fell prey to the whole financial debacle that the world was going through. This didn't just happen in the United States. And so we want to bring you a little look on the Dublin food scene, what's happening there, and why your dollar can stretch so far in Dublin, and you can be enjoying kind of the most scrumptious meal that you never thought you would have in an unlikely place in Dublin.
Millennial Money with Shauna Comden-Game. It will expand your brain.
For this week's Millennial Money Travel Tuesday, we follow up with our St. Patrick's Day episode with a look at the Dublin food scene. The Dublin food scene is way more than just meat and potatoes, as it was many years ago, and now has really grown into one of the best in Europe. Freelance Irish food writer Dee Laffin gives us a food tour around Dublin, talking about how this city has really transformed their cuisine taste, as well as giving us great tips for eating around Dublin. Laffin is also the chairperson for Slow Food Dublin, which is at the forefront for this ever-changing food town, as she will explain. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Dee. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So you're involved, you're a food writer in Dublin, and you're involved with Slow Food Dublin. So tell me a little bit about that that movement and your place in Slow Food Dublin.
Sure. Well, Slow Food is an international movement. It's basically a non-profit organization. And it was formed because I suppose a recognition of the fact that people were kind of, you know, losing sight of the story of food and the connections of food with farmers and production and everything. And, you know, kind of fast food, fast life was taking over. And so the slow food movement was created. And it doesn't mean, some people think it actually means cooking food slowly. And I suppose that's, to a certain extent, it kind of a little bit like, but it's about basically the recognition of just the strong connections between the plate and the planet. And it's basically, so Slow Food Dublin is the one branch, you know, like in Ireland, there's loads of different branches around the country, and Slow Food Ireland would be the overseeing body of all of those. And basically we just organize, we're a group of people, there's six of us on the committee, and we just try and organize one or two events every month. And what we do is we just try and focus those kind of ideas. So we look at food producers in Ireland who are ethical, sustainable, who appreciate the land, who are trying to just do a really good job of creating really great, good food, and have that connection. They recognize that connection between food and the land and people. So it's getting people together, like-minded people who love food, but who love good food, and take the time. And I suppose that's where the slow part does come in, is like kind of taking a moment to think about the producer or the farmer or the animal or the soil, you know, loads of different topics. So, for example, last month we had an Irish chocolate producer who did a whole night of from bean to bar.
Oh, nice.
It's called the Proper Chocolate Company, and Patrick from the Proper Chocolate Company spoke at length. Like, he's a complete geek when it comes to chocolate. Like, he could talk for hours. So he was just, you know, he spoke a lot about like where it comes from and where they source their, where the chocolate, the cocoa beans from, and where they get them, and their connection with the farmers there in another country. And then actually people got to make chocolate on the night. And so it was just that whole, so it was the whole story of chocolate and trying to get people to realize that some chocolates don't have that connection with the farmers, and they don't, you know, it's not ethical or fair trade or whatever. So it's kind of just doing that. And then, I mean, this month we have a fermentation class. We're going to make some kefir in an old chocolate factory in Dublin. It's called the Chocolate Factory, but it isn't anymore. It's just a big old empty kind of warehouse, and there's a cafe in there, but it's a great space to have events. So we're going to hold a fermentation workshop in there, and people are going to actually get to do their, you know, they'll go home with loads of jars of kefir and different other things. So it's kind of like that. Just there's different types of events, bringing people together, enjoying good food. Sometimes we just go out for dinner, you know, it really just is appreciating the really great food and food production in the country.
You mentioned before your committee on slow food, you have several other experts like yourself. Who are some of the people that you actually have on your board and that work with slow food?
On Slow Food in Ireland, we're really fortunate to have the head of Slow Food Ireland is Dorina Allen. And Dorina Allen is one of the people involved in Ballymaloe Cookery School down in County Cork. It's pretty famous around the world. I'm not sure if, do you know
it? I've heard of it. I've always wanted to go there too, yeah.
Yeah, everyone, that they have this famous 3-month course where basically you go down and you learn everything from cheese making, you know, like you go out and you milk the cow and then you bring it in, you make cheese from it, and, you know, to going out foraging for things in the forest and what you can eat there, and then bringing them back and making things out of those. And, you know, just the kind of forgotten skills, the really basic, it's not so much it is a cookery school and it does teach you how to cook, but it's not so much in terms of like a chef. It's basically teaching you the skills of just food and life, you know, like things that people would have grown up making bread years ago, but now hardly anybody knows how to make it, you know. So it's kind of going back to that. And Dorina Allen, she's the daughter-in-law of Myrtle Allen, who is the kind of the godmother or grandmother of Irish food. she basically, Ireland doesn't have a, you know, its food history is a strange one in that, you know, we wouldn't be renowned for our cuisine traditionally. Right. We're more renowned for our soil and our meat and our dairy. Right. And the reason is because, like, years ago, you know, it was all about the land and all about agriculture. And we were kind of, you know, a poor country in that, not like poor, but in that respect that we didn't have, everybody just worked on the land. Yeah. And that was what they had. And so, and the Industrial Revolution kind of passed us by. So it was for years that we just were producers. And Myrtle Allen was one of the first in the kind of 60s to really start saying to the government and to other people saying, hey guys, you know, we really need to start telling people about the amazing produce here. And, you know, she studied as a chef and she went and worked in places in Paris and things like that. And she brought her cuisine knowledge back. And then she started the cookery school and Doreena Allen took that over from her. Mm. And so Doreena's the head of Slow Food in England. And she would have that great connection and great story and heritage there about food in Ireland. And she's a great advocate. She's always going to the European Commission and places like that and really, you know, fighting for rights for the land or for farmers or for food. You know, she'll speak out about issues that that affect us in Ireland and affect our food. So she's one of the main people who kind of we have available to us in Slow Food, and she's a great asset to us, definitely.
Why do you think that the Slow Food movement is so important in Dublin and other major cities around the world? Because it really, really has become a movement around so many, definitely a lot of cities here too in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, actually on our committee in Dublin, just to even say again, we have Sharon and Bill Gunter, are friends of mine. They're a couple who moved from Austin, Texas. And I mean, over there in Austin, there's a great Slow Food community. And I think it's really big there. And they brought some of their knowledge and of what they've done over there to our committee. And we have someone else from Italy as well. And in Italy is where is the home of Slow Food. That's where it originated. So there's a really strong connection there. And there's actually an international, symposium there every year called Terra Madre. Mm-hmm. And it's the festival for Slow Food that's on every year. And loads of people from all over the world go to it. But I think why it's so important is, I think, and why it's growing in kind of popularity, for want of a better word, is because people recognize that connection. You know, I mean, it's the one thing I've noticed and that's changed here. Like, as I said, back in our history, we've always had that connection with producers and the land. But I think a lot of people, you know, we were all eating a lot of convenience food, a lot of commercial, and we were forgetting about that connection.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've noticed, especially since we had the economic downturn a few years ago, the one thing that came out of that, and it is part of what's changed our food scene, which we'll talk about later, but is that, you know, that real importance to everybody that everyone seems to have now of supporting local and asking where our food comes from. Was it ethically, you know, if it was an animal, was it ethically grown and fed and killed, and the traceability and that connection, that whole story of the food is becoming more and more important. And I think that that's why across, and that's something that's a trend, again, for want of a better word, not something, you know, it's not going to kind of filter away. I think it's something that's going to stay. And I think people like to know now, you know, that what they're putting in their bodies is as good as it can be. And they're willing to pay for that. And there's good value in that. And there's great food out there. You know, you just sometimes need to kind of look past some other packets of things, kind of find the really good stuff.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Well, what was the food scene looking like, and more the typical Irish fare before, and what has it sort of changed? And specifically, like in Dublin, I've noticed when I've gone there, so many different restaurants that are not typical Irish food. Like, what was it before, and how has it changed?
Well, going back again to what I was saying about our heritage in the past, we weren't known for our cuisine in Ireland and in Dublin. You know, there were some great restaurants over the years, but they were few and far between when you look at other countries in Europe, in particular, like in France or Spain, who are renowned for their food, you know, for their cuisine. And I think it was because we were very much, like I said, we have an agricultural history. But one thing that really changed for us in Ireland was the founding of an airline company called Ryanair.
Yeah.
By Michael O'Leary, who is, I suppose, one of Ireland's patron saints. If you're talking about with Paddy's Day coming up.
Right.
But I mean, a lot of people love to hate him, and a lot of people, he's very outspoken and he's a bit wild. He's come out with some real stories over the years. But he, you know, when Ryanair was set up, like before that, Irish people, it would cost maybe £200-300 at the time, Irish pounds, to travel to London. And, you know, he came along and he was like, I'm going to get you to, like, you can fly there for a tenner.
Mm.
And we went, you know, we just literally, you could not stop us.
Right.
And we flew to everywhere. We didn't even know where some of the destinations were or the airports. They were in the middle of nowhere. But Irish people have literally been flying back and forth to Europe now in particular. And now with the routes to the States are so direct, you know, we are literally flying back and forth. And what happened with that was that change in what you're talking about in the scene, the restaurant scene, where more and more diversity happened in terms of cuisines. Before that, it was very Irish. You know, you might have an Italian or something like that,
yeah.
But it wouldn't have been a very typical Italian. And what happened is over the years, with the influx of people, immigrants moving here from Europe and other parts of the world, and then also Irish people traveling, just the amount, the diversity of restaurants and cuisines in Ireland has just grown exponentially. And so in Dublin more recently, I think the thing as well is that I suppose we kind of are still a bit behind. Like, I often read an awful lot about trends or restaurants in the States and New York and different places in LA. And, you know, we are still, I'll hear about something there and then it will filter through to us maybe like a year or so later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, it's still some of the things that are trendy now in terms of restaurants opening and type of food. You probably would have seen maybe, you know, a year or so ago. It takes a while for it to come over this side.
Right.
That's not to say we're behind. I think it's just more, we're kind of still just, everyone's getting used to certain new cuisines and new ways of eating. And, you know, it is a, even though Dublin's our capital city and it is very big for us, it's still very small in relative terms. It's like a big town. So you can only have so many restaurants. And I think some have opened and failed. And I think, you know, only certain things work here based on the kind of demographic and the people living here. Dublin's a very young city. You know, there's a lot of people in the kind of like 30 to 50 bracket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of young professionals, young families. So it's a different, and then also so many tourists, so that you have that real mix of people looking to dine out.
Right. Mm-hmm. One of the places that you're a food expert at is the Fab Food Trails food tours. Tell us a little bit about that and where the type of places they actually take you on those food tours around Dublin.
Sure. So the Fab Food Trails has been set up for a long time now. It's one of the kind of older established food trails around the city. And their whole idea is that you just, you know, you are brought around the city with locals who are passionate about the city, who are like myself working in the food industry. There's another few food writers who give the trails as well. And we just bring people around to spots that we feel represent Ireland in the way that, you know, in a, they show their, they have good food stories, they're good food producers, or, you know, if they're restaurants that they use locally sourced ingredients and they promote them in a really unique or really good way. And so we try and, so that when we bring people around, that they really get a sense of Irish food. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just showing them one type of food or anything like that. And most of the trails would have about 6 or 7 stops on them, and you can do, there's loads of different variations of the trails. But some of the stops we would go to would be Sheridan's Cheesemongers in the city centre in the south side. It's just off Grafton Street, which is our main kind of shopping street. And Sheridan's Cheesemongers is, it's actually our only cheesemongers in the city centre. Like that, a complete shop of cheese, and there is some other kind of concessions in other shops, but And it's just an incredible emporium. You know, it's just, you go in and the staff are so great and so knowledgeable, and they will show you, and you get to taste some of the really great Irish cheeses. And they tell you the story about the shop and how it was set up by the Sheridan brothers and how they grew it, you know, and then you get to taste the cheeses and the story, you find out the stories behind them and the cheap about the cheesemakers, the types of cheeses, and how, you know, our story of cheese, I suppose, as well. So you're kind of getting that, because, you know, we wouldn't have been, it's something Ireland wouldn't have been renowned for before, but we're very much renowned for it now. Some of our cheeses have won in the World Cheese Awards, you know, and do continue to every year. And, you know, so we're very proud of that. But they also have international other cheeses there, you know, as well. So you can try from other different places as well. And then, so you'd have something like that, that's kind of like very producer based. And then we would bring people to places like the Pepper Pot Cafe, which is in the Powers Court Centre, which again isn't far off Grafton Street. And the Powers Court Centre is a unique centre. It's very much full of, it's beautiful, the architecture in it, and it's full of like Irish designers and Irish kind of shops like that, and some of them very unique. And the Pepper Pot is right in the middle of it on a balcony overlooking the main kind of shopping area, and it's just a fab little find, you know, like you wouldn't know it. It may not be promoted in all the tourist books, but it's one of those ones that locals go to, and everything is cooked fresh on the day. They use only Irish locally sourced ingredients. They bake and they cook, you know, everything. There's beautiful kind of cakes and scones, and they're famous for their bagels. I've often heard an American say, especially, you know, when some of the tours you give from different areas, but some Americans have said better than bagels they get back at home, which I feel is a very, very big compliment.
That is, yeah, exactly.
You know, because like obviously it's not an Irish thing, you know.
Yeah.
But so we bring them there and they get to sample there. They would sample the bagels with some smoked Irish salmon, organic Irish salmon, and some cream cheese and like some salad or something like that.
Right.
So, and again, the person, one of the guys who works there, a person, a staff would come out and they would tell their story and connect with them. So that's an establishment, and then, you know, it wouldn't be an Irish fab food trail without a pub stop, you know. We feel like everyone. So sometimes we bring people to a pub called The Swan, which is on Anger Street, in, again, it's in Dublin too, it's all in Dublin too, it's in on these stops. So it's in a very small radius. But The Swan is a very stereotypical Irish pub. And what makes it special is that it's one of only 12 Victorian pubs left in Dublin. So there's a lot of history just even in the architecture. And, you know, a lot of the features are still there since the pub was built. So, for example, there's the old snug and the hatch where the women would have to sit because they weren't allowed in the same side of the pub with the men.
Yeah.
So that's still there. And you can go in and see the hatch where they would have to go up and order their drinks, you know, and they weren't allowed to go up to the bar or anything like that.
Right.
And it's also significant because that pub was also used on the outside of it. You'll see some, I think there's a couple of bullet holes and things because it was used in the revolution, 1916 rising.
Right.
They used to go up on the roof and they'd hold up a torch which would be, you know, a stick of wood with a rag wrapped around it burning.
Yeah.
And there'd be a number of those across the city and they'd light them up as they saw one, another one from further away, and they'd light it up to let the guards know down on O'Connell Street, that the army, to let them know that the troops are coming down to fight them and stuff like that. So it was, there's like loads of history about it, you know?
Right.
And it's actually owned as well, the pub, by an ex-Irish rugby player.
Oh, wow.
And so rugby is very big over here, obviously. So that's kind of a great connection there. And what we do there is they get to taste a shot of Irish whiskey, some Powers whiskey, which is an old Irish brand. And again, it's just like the guys in there, the barman, are great at telling stories. And, you know, they just, and if no one has to partake. You don't have to drink the whiskey if you don't want to drink it. But right. It's just a really nice, it's just a small, it's not a full shot, it's just a small piece, small taste. And it's just a nice example of the culture, you know, because, I mean, the pub culture here in Ireland is such a significant thing. It's hard to ignore it. You have to kind of include it in a tour as well.
Yeah, and it's also just a great way to, you know, experience the culture and get to know people as well, too.
Yeah, and maybe people aren't here to go to pubs, so it's a nice stop just so that they can see one. Right. You know, that's sort of, we always go in the morning when it's pretty much empty. Yeah. So, you know, they're getting to look around. There's loads of memorabilia up on the walls and things like that. And as I said, the barmen are great. You know, they're really funny. They tell stories, and it's a really nice stop. And yeah, so I mean, there's kind of three examples, I suppose, of like a producer, a restaurant cafe, and then a pub. So it's kind of examples of ones that we would do. But as we walk around, we would tell stories about, you know, history and not only like food history, but also just historical references. If it's a building, or we talk about the culture of a street or a place or an area of Dublin, you know, if we take them down into Temple Bar, we bring them to the food market and we get them to try oysters. Mm-hmm. And we show them the vegetable. There's a great organic vegetable stall there. And there's also another cheese stall down there as well. And, you know, so it's a real mix of things. But like if we bring them down into Temple Bar, that's the real kind of tourist area in Dublin. And we kind of tell them the story of Temple Bar and how it was built and what it was before, and kind of pointing out different places that they might, you know, that are great for music, or because there's some great traditional Irish bars down there. So you're definitely going to get some trad sessions going, you know, it's good like that to point out different, you know, so you're really pointing out something for everyone. So I think if you're on the tour and you are interested in one specific thing, you'll still learn lots more. And, you know, it's just a nice kind of reference point. And it gives you it's a good thing, I think, to do a walking tour when you go to a city, maybe on one of your first days.
Yeah.
Because then you kind of get your bearings for the city.
Yeah.
And the tours really do that.
Yeah, and especially a city like Dublin, it's such a great walkable city anyway, but there you at least sort of get your bearings and you go, oh, wait, I'm going to go back there, or I'm going to go over there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Dublin, like you said, it is really walkable. I mean, most places are, you know, you can walk around kind of, or walk two places in 20 minutes, you know, and that's like even a long walk. Like the city centre is really like a 10-minute stroll to different places. So it's actually one of the things I've noticed in the Dublin restaurant scene and food scene is that before, when people would eat out, it was always a matter of going into the city centre to go to the best restaurants. Mm. One of the main things that's happened in the last year is that there are more and more of the villages or boroughs, or whatever you want to call them, kind of like just outside of the main city centre. Mm-hmm. That there's some great restaurants opening up in those villages and just outside the city centre. So actually people are, like other cities now, not going into the city centre, but going to a different part of the city to go out and eat in. And so, and that's something that's definitely changed. We didn't have that before.
Right.
Everyone would always go into the city centre for the best restaurants, but that's really changing.
Right.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, EarnIt provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. EarnIt is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIt app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use EarnIt in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make EarnIt a part of your financial routine and join EarnIt's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIt, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download EarnIt today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIt app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. EarnIt is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/etm and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/etm. Go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use code ETM for 20% off.
What are some of the best newer restaurants that people really should try in Dublin?
Yeah, so there's been some, as you were saying, there's so many restaurants, and really in the last couple of years, it's just exploded the food scene here. And there seems to be, there's some weeks, there's just a few restaurants opening up every week. It's crazy.
Right.
So lots to choose from. One of my favorites that opened up a couple of years ago is one called Luna. Mm. L-U-N-A. Mm-hmm. And Luna is kind of like an Italian, I suppose it's an Italian menu, but you wouldn't necessarily maybe call it an Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. Because it's very Irish as well. It's very focused on, the menu is broken into things like antipasti and pasta and mains and things like, are like, you know, from the grill and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's just that it's so, all the ingredients are so Irish that it kind of it's almost a balance between the two. Mm. But it's a really great location as well, because it's in the basement of a building, but the window lines one side of it at the entrance, so you actually get really bright, a lot of brightness into the basement. And it's done with loads of like black leather boots, and actually they have the carpet from The Shining, you know, that part.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so when I walked in, I'm actually quite a big horror fan, and I walked in and I just went, oh my god, this is the carpet from The Shining, that's so cool. And the waiters are dressed in the same, the outfit that Jack Nicholson wore when he was the barman, you know, the red velvet with the, yeah. So it's really cool. And they have an old school dessert trolley. Mm. So they like wheel out the dessert trolley and you pick your dessert from that, which I really love as well.
Yeah.
But the food is excellent in there. I mean, you can get anything from, you know, octopus for starter, or lardo. They also have a section, a meat slicer off to the side, so they'll slice fresh charcuterie for you.
Nice.
Yeah, then they have like things like, they have beautiful pasta, but then also you can get, I had an absolutely stunning veal shank in there before. But it's they have a great bar, and it's just a really great place. Like, if I was saying to someone coming over here and they really wanted a fun night out, get dressed up, go with either a group of people and sit in a booth, or just go on a date, just two people. But it's a really great place to go, and it's buzzing and it's full of life, and you know, it's a really great atmosphere in there.
Right.
So it's a great, that's a really great place to go. I really like it.
Oh, that's where I'm going next time we come to Dublin. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Another place that's really great is called Forest and Marcy. Hmm. Forest and Marcy is, again, city centre, but it's more south side of the, just a little bit outside the main streets. Mm-hmm. But definitely walk to it from if you're staying in the city center. And Forest and Marcy is a sister of another restaurant called Forest Avenue, which is equally as good. But the reason I say Forest and Marcy is just because it's a real, you know, local neighborhood restaurant style.
Right.
It's a small restaurant. You kind of drop in, and it's all done when you walk in. They have a few tables, but literally it's just a big long counter running down the middle, or running down the side, and you sit at the counter and the food is kind of prepared in front of you. There is a kitchen just off that, but they bring it out and then it's plated up and prepared in front of you. And it's almost like you have your own personal chef cooking for you, you know, like they'll plate it up in front of you and you just grab some nice wine and you sit and you chat. And it's either just, again, it's a great place to go on a date, or it's a really nice place to go with some friends and catch up and have a bottle of wine and just order some. They do a lot of small plates and, you know, so you kind of just order a few things and it starts coming out and you kind of pick a different, you know, a real kind of grazing kind of menu.
Yeah.
But the standard of the food is exceptional. Kieran Sweeney is the head chef there, and he's excellent and really manages to capture an essence of an ingredient. You know, so say for example, you know, it's kind of wild garlic season at the moment, so they have a dish that's really centered around that one ingredient. So rather than overcomplicated dishes, it'll just be wild garlic, maybe done in different ways, but just on one plate. So gosh, that kind of a really breaking, yeah, really like it, letting you experience one ingredient but done in a few different ways. I had an absolutely beautiful, and I was in there in December, and they had a foie gras tart. And so it looked like custard tart. Mm. It was foie gras custard tart, they gave you a slice of it, and it was just so rich. It was, but it was beautiful, absolutely stunning.
Right.
So just the presentation of the food is excellent, and it's a really great place, and really reasonably priced actually for the level of food, I think. And again, all locally sourced, all Irish, all just, but that's actually another trend. Again, that's something like I was saying to you about that local kind of, neighborhood restaurants, mm-hmm. you know, those, that style,
yeah.
not only are they sitting up outside the city centre, but also they have that feel to them about that you can just drop in. They're not very big. Yeah. You know, they might only sit maybe 20, 30 people, but some of them have counters and you just drop in, you don't make reservation. And then you just, you know, you only stay for a little while, but it's just kind of like after work or on a Sunday or a Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you walk home or walk onto a pub or something from there, that kind of a style.
Yeah, and those are usually the best places, no matter where you're traveling. You always want to find those kind of places anyway. And I love that Dublin has more of those these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Well, we've definitely seen a lot of vegetarian and vegan as well. There's like definitely big because a lot of people are, I think, trying to even eating it more now for to be healthier, you know, just that kind of move to that. So
exactly.
We're seeing a lot more of those kind of restaurants opening up as well, which people are, you know, it's really been really receptive here where we haven't had any kind of major vegetarian restaurants before, which is really odd. Yeah. We tend to like our meat.
Right. Meat and potatoes, Irish fare.
Yeah. And one thing that opened up that's really cool as well, just to say the last thing, is it's a place called Eat Yard. And it's our first street food market. Mm. And it's outdoors. And it has different vendors. And they rotate every 2 to 3 months. So they'll get new vendors in. And that's opened up in Portobello. And that's really, really cool as well. So you kind of walk in, you know, after work or for lunch or something, and you can get, you know, different, there's like vendors' vans kind of permanently pitches there.
Yeah.
There's music and there's a bar beside it. And they have other things like they have a stage because they do some demos and stuff like that different times as well. But that's our first, I mean, street food is something that's definitely something that's taken off here as well. So it's a really good one as well. If you're not sure where to eat, because you can sample a few different things, you know, and get a real flavor for a few different styles of cuisines or restaurants.
What was the name of that thing, that place again?
It's called Eat Yard.
Eat Yard. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Eat Yard. Yeah, it's right. Cool. Really good. So that's in Portobello. So that's a really good one as well.
Right, right. Well, there's just too many choices now. Almost.
It is. And, you know, when I'm going out to eat, I find it really hard. I tend to be quite boring, go to some of the same place because they're my favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to obviously with work and everything have to make an effort to eat anywhere new and try everything out.
Right.
So I can write about it or at least be in the conversation about it. So it's a fun time to be here. The city is really thriving and there's restaurants opening up all the time. So if for any visitors coming over, you know, there's really great value. There's high end restaurants, but they're offering value, you know, menus and different times, different nights. So I would definitely say even the Michelin restaurants have set menus for different nights that you can get really good, or pre-theater menus that you can get really good value. And then there's just like, you know, your more lower budget menus or restaurants, and they're offering really great value as well. So there's kind of something for every budget and for every taste. It's really good.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show. So where can people find Slow Food in Dublin?
So if you go to our website, it's slowfooddublin.com. That'd be the best, you know, to check out where we don't have one like venue or place, but we'll always have events on. So if you look that up, you'll see what our next upcoming event is on. And as I said, we have about one or two of them a month. So you'd be able to come and just come and meet us. And, you know, we have meetups where we just have drinks as well. So if anyone's in town around, if one of those is on, or you can drop us an email and contact us. We want to be a source for people if they need a recommendation for a few restaurants or to buy food or anything like that, that, you know, they can contact us about that as well.